When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, by this time they probably were no longer living underneath the house in the stable, wherever it was that they were. I'm sure they were probably living in a house by that time. That's where the wise men found them. Anyways, this is at least 40 days later. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. That story doesn't include the trip to Egypt, which is included in the book of Matthew. Well, there's two statements in the story that Adele read and the one that I read that I was captured by this week. And they are in Luke 2, verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And Luke 2, verse 33, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. So may I ask the question this morning, who is this? We sang a song this morning. It was good somebody chose it. What child is this? What child is this? Who is this? There's another song that we sing as a Christmas song, but I think has only the first two lines of the first verse have to do with this season, and that is, who is he in yonder stall? And the next line, whatever it is, it's Jesus, of course. So we're asking the question again, who is this? And then I think of the song that we sing that isn't in our hymnal, but it's sort of a folky, more folksy song. I wonder as I wander out under the sky. So I wonder, it's a play on words, and actually there's three words that are similar there. I wonder as I wander out under the sky. So I want to focus on three words briefly. First of all, treasure. Mary treasured these words in her heart. Up all these things and pondered them in her heart. So she treasured. So the message that she received was received by her, kept by her. When you have a treasure, you keep it, you retain it. It's not forgotten. Jesus talked about the word of God being snatched away to begin with by birds, where the seed is just strewn on the pathway. So many people hear the word, but the word is quickly snatched away. Well, Mary did not let this word get snatched away. She treasured it. She kept it. Thy word is hidden in my heart. Ponder is the next word. So treasure and ponder. What does it mean to ponder? It's an interesting word. A little bit like meditate, but not quite the same. A little bit like ruminate, but not quite the same. Ruminate means to think about something over and over and over again, reviewing it over and over again. Meditation probably has something to do with thinking about something very specific. It has a point to it. Well, pondering is more inconclusive. There's still questions. When you ponder something, there's still some questions associated with what you're thinking about. You're reviewing them mentally. You're weighing in your mind what was just said, the word that was given. Considering quietly, soberly, and deeply. So Mary was pondering. Good word. These things that were spoken to her. The Message Bible puts that verse this way. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear, deeply within herself. Then the word from Luke 2:33, the child's father and mother were marveled at what was said about him. Marvel, the word marvel. So we look at the word treasure, ponder, and marvel. Be amazed. Wonder, I wonder as I wander this earth. They were amazed at Simeon's words, and we'll look at them briefly in a minute. Again, the Message Bible. Jesus' father and mother were speechless with surprise at these words. What did Mary keep, or what did she treasure up? What were the words that were spoken to her? She had an amazing God encounter, and last week we talked about her world was rocked, and Joseph's world was rocked. They would never be the same. Both had encountered an angel. Angel for Joseph was in a dream. Mary encountered an angel in broad daylight. The angel told her, "You're going to give birth to a son. God will be his father." I mean, anybody getting a message like that is going to be shocked. And so these are the words that Mary received. The word to Joseph from the angel in his dream was that Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Again, shocking words. And they weren't just words, they're God's word. And we read that the angel assured Mary that no word of God will ever fail. It will come true at its appointed time. So back to the question, who is this? So first of all, he's a son to Mary. You're going to name him Jesus, which is the Greek form of Joshua, which means the Lord saves. Joseph was told the same thing at the beginning. You're going to name him Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. We read the words of John the Baptist in the first couple of chapters of the Gospel of John, who saw Jesus coming and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Who is this? Savior. Jesus, Savior. Second thing Mary was told was that he's going to be great. That's a bit of an understatement, if you think of it. The Son of the Most High. If you think of it, the Jews were very cautious about actually speaking the name of God, and they were really cautious about actually writing his name. And this son of Mary's was going to be the son of this Most High God. name too holy to speak, a name too holy to write. He's going to be a king. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And everybody in Israel knew this promise. David's lineage is going to come back, and there's going to be a son of David that's going to rule forever. And they're thinking, David, at last. Everybody who heard this was aware of the fact that David was going to have someone that would rule on his throne and would reign over Jacob's descendants, Israel, forever. And then he adds to that, and his kingdom will never end. So it's an everlasting kingdom. So Mary heard the words declaring this to be the Savior. He was going to be great, the Son of God. He's going to be a king, and his kingdom would last forever. So these were the words that she was treasuring and pondering in her heart. What other words were spoken? Well, when the shepherds were told by the angels about Jesus, they went to Bethlehem, and they showed up at the stable. And I'm thinking, Mary and Joseph are thinking, when these shepherds show up, what are you doing here? How come you're here? And they said, well, we were told something by angels. And this is what they were told. I'm bringing you good news of great joy to all people. A Savior is going to be born. So here we have this understanding of a Savior, again, told to the shepherds. He's going to be Christ, which is meaning the Messiah, and they all knew that the Messiah was promised. He's the coming one. He's the anointed one. He's the one they expected, who was going to set up his righteous, peaceful reign forever and ever. And he's going to be the Lord, or the King. Similar messages given to the shepherds. And peace will come to all on earth. Then we have the story of Simeon and the words that he spoke to Mary, and that they were amazed at. Both Joseph and Mary were amazed at this time. Simeon was not necessarily a priest, but he hung around the temple all the time. He was old, and God had given him the promise that he would see the Lord's Messiah. And so he was there, and he was getting old. He's probably wondering, when is this going to happen? And it happens in his lifetime, and he gets to hold the baby, and he prophesies about this baby. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What does that mean? Consolation. We have the image of a child who's very upset, very disturbed, and crying, and needs consoling or comforting. Well, Israel was in that place. Israel was in a bad place. They were in trouble, deep in trouble. They needed comfort. They needed consolation. And Simeon was a part of that nation. Now he says, my eyes have seen your salvation. So Joseph, or Mary, was told, name him Jesus, which means God saves. Joseph was told, first thing that Joseph was told was, you're going to name him Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. The shepherds were told he's going to be a Savior. The Savior has been born. And here Simeon is repeating the same thing, or is saying the same thing. My eyes have seen your salvation. In fact, it's in the sight of all nations. So he's expanding it from only Israel to all nations. All nations will see this. A light of revelation to the Gentiles. This is amazing. This is where we get in. It's amazing that Mary was given this understanding from Simeon, who prophesied to her that this is going to be for the Gentiles. Of course, it was in the Old Testament. It was always prophesied. Glory to your people, Israel. And glory of your people, Israel. Now, Israel was despised and scorned and hated by those around them, and probably is still today scorned and despised and hated by many, many people. But Jesus is going to be and was already at that time the glory of the nation of Israel. Out of this family, out of Abram's family, the glory of God would be revealed, and Jesus would be that glory. Then Simeon talks about the destiny of this Jesus. He's going to cause the rising and the falling of many. What does it mean to cause the rising of many? In the Gospel of John, we read that those who believe, those who receive Jesus, the Word, the living Word, can become God's children. God is pleased to make them His children. Talk about being elevated. Peter talks about becoming joint heirs with Christ. Talk about rising, becoming the royal priesthood, a holy nation. Talk about rising, but the falling as well of many in Israel and others. The stone that causes men to stumble, the stone that caused the Jews to stumble. Matthew, Jesus talks about this stone in Matthew chapter 21. It's the stone that probably was in the vision of Daniel, where this big image was there and this stone came tumbling out and smashed into the image, and the stone that smashed the image eventually was filled the whole earth. And this stone really is Jesus, causing the falling of many. Jesus talks about the one on whom it falls, or the one who falls on it, will be broken. Just like you would drop a plate on a ceramic tile floor, it would probably break. And the one on whom it falls will be crushed. 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about Jesus and the message of the cross being a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. It will be a sign. Jesus also will be a sign, Simeon said, that will be spoken against. And the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Many people are spiritual today and talk about God in sort of a generic way, angels included. But when Jesus enters the picture, it becomes somewhat offensive. Jesus is too exclusive. When salvation is mentioned, when the need to be saved is brought up, we don't want that. We don't need that. So, a sign that will be spoken against. And then Mary gets a personal word, and the sword will pierce your own heart also. Most of us as parents know what it is for us to have children who cause us pain in some way or other. Well, Mary knew, as many people know today, to have a son of hers in her old age die before her, or even be killed before her. So a sword would pierce her heart as well. Those were the words of Simeon. And finally, one more person, Anna. Another old person. These two old people hung around the temple all the time. Anna's very special. And when she heard about Jesus, she spoke about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So the consolation of Israel and the redemption of Jerusalem. Two big deals in God's eyes. The redemption of Jerusalem. Jerusalem itself will be seen one day to be the city of God. Who is this? Mary treasured these words, pondered them in her heart, and marveled at them. One of the first things that Mary did was go visit her relative Elizabeth. I think even before she could tell Joseph about what was happening with her, she went to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth, we don't know if it was a cousin or an aunt or what relation she was, but they were related. Mary had experienced a visitation of God. She had been told words beyond imagining. Who could she share these with? Who would understand? Elizabeth. Because the angel told her that Elizabeth has experienced something miraculous even in her own age. So she rushed off to share her story, her experience with Elizabeth. Here she met someone who recognized what was happening with her by the Spirit. They were able to commune together. They had a good visit. They were on the same page. So good to be on the same page with somebody, to have someone you can share the innermost thoughts and desires and words from your own heart. Eventually, she shared the secret with Joseph. And Joseph, of course, had been told that what's conceived in Mary is of the Holy Spirit. So he was on the same page. And I can't imagine when we carry something so personal, something so so meaningful to us that we can't share it with somebody. And especially if you couldn't share it with your own spouse, some of these very deep things of the heart. There would be an incredible bond between her and Joseph, because a lot of people wouldn't understand them and what was happening with them. They would look at them in a different way. But with Joseph, she was able to receive support and comfort. So we want to conclude with us today. Where are we in this story? How does this speak to us? How does this affect us? Remember, after all, the good news is for all the people. All the people, including us. So like Mary, we want to treasure these words. Receive them. Keep them. Hide them in our hearts. That Jesus is a Savior. The first thing that they were told, he's going to be a Savior. That's the first thing everybody needs to understand, that Jesus is a Savior. We need saving. We need to recognize that need. It takes humbling of ourselves, believing and receiving Jesus as our Savior. The word that Jesus was the Messiah, the coming one, the anointed one. We've been talking about preparing. To be prepared, the responsibility of John the Baptist. Prepare the people to be ready. And Jesus as Lord and King. Not just as Savior, but as King. The one who rules on the throne of our hearts. And forever. So we treasure these words. We ponder them. We think about them. We meditate on them. We get to know the Word. That's how we get to know Jesus. But we also get to know the living Word, the one who lives within us. The Creator of the universe lives in us, lives in you, lives in me. That is such an amazing thought. In one of Jesus' parables, he talks about people who did things in the name of Jesus. They did all these miraculous things in the name of Jesus, and yet, at the end, he says of them, I don't know you. And it's one thing for us to know Jesus, but it's another thing for him to know us. When we were in Thailand, we met this young man from Uganda. It was a very amazing story. As a boy, he was driven from his own home. As an altar boy in the Catholic Church, he was chased away by the priests because he exposed them. He was driven out by his landlady because he wouldn't comply with her wishes. He was on the street. He preached on the street. And then he was imprisoned because he didn't have an occupation. So he's asking God, God, I'm faithful to you. I'm serving you. I'm doing what you're wanting me to do. Why is this happening to me? And in a dream, Jesus came to him and said these words to begin with. I know you. And that didn't just happen once. I think it happened two or three times at least from what he told us. I know you. And I think if there's anything that I would want was to be known. I want to know Jesus. I want to know him. I want to know him better. I want him, his person to consume my life. But to hear those words, I just think that is so amazing. I know you. I haven't forgotten you. I know where you are. I know what you're going through. And I'm with you. So ponder this. Marvel. Wonder. Worship. Never want these words, this story, to become so familiar that it just sort of... And that's the danger of hearing it all the time, celebrating this every Christmas. It's like it becomes so common and we don't appreciate it. So one of my prayers this Christmas has been, bring the wonder back, the wonder of this amazing time. We don't want it to become same old, taken for granted. Let him capture our hearts. And of course, he's got to do that. Jesus does that. The Holy Spirit does that. He captures our hearts. All we need to do is open ourselves up to what he wants to do for us and in us. And then finally, I want to add one more word. Share that. The shepherds, when they had seen the baby Jesus, they went around and told everybody. Can't imagine these farmers or whatever they were, whether they were good at speaking or whatever they did, they told people everywhere. And people were amazed at what the shepherds were telling them. A Savior has been born. The Messiah has come. He's here. He's living in Bethlehem. And the people were amazed. Not everybody's going to have that response. Some are going to scorn. But find someone to relate this to. Share with someone who needs to hear the good news, who's open to believe, to receive, and to look to Jesus. But also, we need people that we can share with heart to heart. We need each other. We need the saints around us. Find someone to relate to some of these intimacies. Someone who can relate to you. It's very important. Someone who's alive and consumed with the same good news. Like Mary and Elizabeth, like Mary and Joseph. There's a verse in Malachi 3:16, and Mike and me sort of discussed this one last time you guys were here. And it's a verse that is really meaningful. Comes from Malachi, the last chapter or the last book of the Old Testament. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard, and a scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. So let's share with each other the good things that God has done in our lives and get excited about what God has done for us. And of course, God does that, gives us that excitement. And I am privileged to actually be able to share that with you people here. I see the excitement. I see what Jesus is doing and has done in your life. And it's a privilege for me to be in on those intimacies, on those secrets. And as we share with each other, God sees, God knows, and he's watching, and he's writing down this scroll of remembrance.